We're holding, for those of you who remember from 2 years ago, last time I said, we're holding an Ois Chavez in LaRosh, the Merchus Chaim LaRosh. Last year I wasn't here, so we didn't go invite her. So holding an Ois Chavez, Chav Gimel in LaRosh, I mean, we learned Chav Beis, so holding an Ois Chav Gimel. While Yetzei L'Riv Maher, so Rosh says that, again, for those of you who are the new ones who have ever looked at the Sefer, it's a list of personal areas that the Rosh was Mechazik himself with his own personal list, and eventually the Tosfos Yom Tov took it and made it into a he made a Yiddish translation, divided up to the days of the week, and he suggests that people should learn it on a regular basis. And from there, eventually, of course, there's, you know, like every Sefer that we have, there's Perushim on it, and there's Perushim on the Perushim, and Baruch Hashem, you know, as want of Klal Yisrael. We make things more complex always. Well, Yetzi L'Riv Maher, so the Rosh says, what's always interesting, in the first half, the first section of the Rosh, he talks about, we want to stay away from things which are Mokshe Mavis, and do things which are Le'orba Arachayim. So the Nakudas that he speaks about go back and forth between the 2 points. Well, Yetzi L'Riv Maher, a person should not go out into a fight quickly. So it's a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk uses the lashon over there, Al Yetzi L'Riv Maher, which indicates that it's okay to go to a riv, it's just as long as it's not quickly. Right, the attitude that we have towards machloikis, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, shalom. We know that there's enough chazals about the significance of shalom that the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't find the mission. The Shas ends in shalom. The Medrash says that Shas ends in shalom. Berachos Kanim ends in shalom. Shmoneh Esrei ends in shalom. Everything ends in shalom. And so we understand shalom is this idea of not fighting. Right. What's referring to? The four states referring to that in Shemayim, the Bershom takes Aish and takes Mayim and is able to make them interact properly with each other. It doesn't mean that Aish is no longer Aish. It doesn't mean that Mayim is no longer Mayim. Aish is supposed to be Aish and Mayim is supposed to be Mayim, and Aish and Mayim do not get along very well with each other. The goal of Shalom is not that I obliterate myself and I deny my reality in order to keep peace. It's I am what I am with all of my mitzvahs, and I find a way to coexist with you at the same time. Aish remains Aish, and mine remains mine. But if you understand that what's supposed to happen in the process of shalom is that you're supposed to remove yourself from the picture and become nothing, that doesn't work. That's not shalom. It's not that you found a shleimus. It's instead you. So there is times where Reeb is correct. The person needs to project his position and what it is. But it has to be done not maher. It has to be done with tremendous amount of cheshbon. So, story: Rashiva would say over Kamat every year Parshas Pinchas, the Toma Kanois. So he would talk about. He said the following story. So tells of Rosh Hashiva, his father. They're staunch Agudists, Agudas Israel. And the chinuch and the yeshiva was very strong towards the Gudah. An anti-Mizrahi, that was the chinuch. So there was a Mizrahi convention in the city of Telz in 1936. So Rishi Gifter, together with three other bachurim, decided that they're going to disrupt the convention. So the convention was held in the theater house, which is wooden, and there was always a transfer of fire. So they went there when the Hoip the Redner was giving his drasha. So right at the apex, right at the climax of the drasha, they had positioned themselves in the four corners of the hall. They screamed out fire at that signal when he gets this like high point of his drasha and stampeded the whole convention. Everybody ran out. He gets a message the next morning that the Rashiva wants to speak to him. He tells the Rav wants to speak to him, the reverence of Bloch, the Shem Yikum Domei, wants to speak to him. So Rashiva says, I'm expecting a Yesh Agoyev. Right? So he walks into the Rashiva's office, and Rashiva says to him, he says, Pros Senit Knovs, Arois from Yeshiva. He threw him out of Yeshiva for a week. Wildkeit, you know, is not Knovs. They threw him out of yeshiva for a week. Where did he go? He didn't go, there's nowhere to go. Like, it wasn't like he went back home, like, you know, back to Portsmouth, Virginia. You know, I mean, he went to the Stuff Based Medicine for a week and he learned the business. And some woman had Rachmanis at him and gave him something to eat, you know. But they threw him out of yeshiva for a week. So she would say with this story, and say, so how do you know if it's kanos or it's pros? He says, if you do it with the same, if you do it with the same equanimity that you do when you put on tefillin, then you know that it's kanos. If you have excitement about it, then it's pros. That was Rashiva's uptouch. He says, most of us, the vast, vast majority of us, are not holding on the madrega that the kinas emes really, really bothers us. That the emotion which we're putting into it is not, the emotion we're putting into it is not from a kavod boruch. If it would be, we show that emotion when we put on tefillin, and all the mitzvahs that we do also. Somewhere or other, we put on tefillin, it seems to be that we see the emotional level is X. But kenos seems to be the emotional level is Y. That's not a kodesh boruch hu's kinas emes. That's pros. He says, when you're ready to do it with the same equanimity as you put on tefillin, then you have a right to do it. So Rosh says, Ayetzi l'riv maher. Right? The person says, yes, there's an issue. I need to address the issue. We have to make a stand. Da, 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 da. One second. Slow that. You might have a point. There is a point where a person has to get up and state a position. It might be uncomfortable, but you have to do it. But you have to do it with a tremendous amount of forethought, a tremendous amount of cheshbon nefesh. There's another story I had with Rashiva. Like, Rigivta was known as a person who made it, would state a position in the, you know, those of you remember from that generation, right? Rigivta was known to have a reputation that he would get up and say what had to be said, right? So people thought that he had a. So there was a mice of something which happened in the community in Cleveland, and Rashiva took a stand on it. And those people were complaining that Rashiva always gets up and he yells. And blah, blah, blah. The behind the scenes of the story was that Rashiva went and discussed with another Adam Gadol before he did it. He informed the person that he's making the stand against that he's going to do it. He told him what he needs to do to retract, and he shouldn't take this position. And as he went up to give the final shmooze to state the position, he went and called, and on the way up, he stopped again to make sure maybe the person already had retracted. He doesn't need to. He did not need to do what he had to do. He did not enjoy doing it, didn't want to do it, but he felt that somebody has to get up and say what has to be said. But it wasn't something which he did mahir. It wasn't done. I'll tell you, it's the reeve mahir. Rabbi Sachs mentioned, you know, our problems, we'd have people lining up, you know, for the opportunity for the kanos. And we'd have a problem with, you know, selling tickets, you know, getting in line, you know, because it's something which we do with a tremendous amount of pain. There's a story that the revolver brings from Rav Simcha Zissel, that Rav Simcha Zissel was a Yidur. Rav Simcha Zissel was a very, very physically weak person. He was not healthy. And the whole week he was very white. He looked ill. And Shabbos, he had a tremendous. He looked different. He had a different. And Shabbos, he had a ruddy complexion. He was different. They said Rabbi Yochum also the same thing. Rabbi Yochum was the same thing, that he looked different on Shabbos. It was advice of one of the Mir Tamidim, said, you know, came to the yeshiva like a Wednesday. He met Rabbi Yochum on Shabbos. He asked somebody, "Who's that person?" "That's Rabbi Yochum." You know, he didn't recognize him. He looked different. So the altar looked different on Shabbos. One Shabbos, he did not look different. He looked very bachadik. And so nobody, you know, obviously there's something very significant going on. You know, what was it? Nobody, you know, they were hesitant to ask. What's the Shabbos? One of the members of the. In general, I think, you know, in Kelm, you didn't ask questions. You know, that wasn't part of it. Curiosity wasn't a mitzvah which was encouraged in the world of Kelm. You know, control, minhag hanefesh, those type of things. Isha v'das. So to Shabbos, somebody went and asked, you know, what they want to learn. So the altar gave a kreks. He said there was a maskil, a rabid anti-terror individual named Peretz Spoletskin, who had passed away right before Shabbos. And the Alta says he couldn't feel Shabbos, whole Shabbos, because he was thinking about the tzar of the neshama as it comes to Shemayim and it sees the din that it's going to go through. The pain that he had, feeling with the neshama of this person, the pain that he had was such that he could not feel Shabbos, the whole Shabbos. That's the mice. Now, you know, here's a person who made it his life's work to destroy Torah. He wrote articles and he made campaigns, and his goal in life was to destroy Torah. So we can imagine, you know, the Hamanam, Yeshiva Hamanam, right? The fellow's nifter, you throw a party, right? Baruch Hashem, we finally got rid of the guy, you know? But the Alta didn't do that. His response was pain. This person lived a lie, he lived a mistake, a tremendous mistake, his whole life. He did terrible things. And can you imagine the pain of the neshama? That's what he lived with. So I think, you know, the person who's able to do that has a right to go out to Yetzer Hara. If you understand the tension, you understand the conflict, you understand the two issues, you understand that there, it's, you know, you're dealing with covet of another person, there's so many issues that you're dealing with. And even kol zeh, you make a cheshbon that it has to be done. Okay? But if you don't, if that's not all understood to the depth of the way it's supposed to be understood, you don't understand what it means, covet of another person. So how can you make a decision? How can you decide that here I have to make a stand? So al yetzir l'riv maher. It doesn't mean that it never should happen. The Lamech says, "Alom esenach Hashem esno u'miskamech es kritot." I fight with them. I take a stand. If I truly care about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I have to make a stand. But with tremendous yishuv hadas, just the first half of the Rosh. We'll leave the second half of the Ois, which talks about Shulis and the Dorim, which is really a separate topic. We'll talk about maybe the Hemshik, or at least we'll talk about the separate topic tomorrow.